Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Saturday, January 20th, 2018. If my voice sounds a little strained this morning, it's because I didn't get very much sleep last night. I have found another one of those games that steals sleep. I call them a way past my bedtime game, and it really kept me up way past my bedtime last night. You know those games I'm talking about, just one more turn, just keep playing it. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was so late. I'll just keep going a little bit longer. Yeah, compulsive, addictive, awesome. I found another one, and this one is called Slay the Spire. This is a Steam game that's in early access right now, but it is fairly polished for an early access game, and I'm having an absolute blast with it. It came out at the end of last year, and it is of a kind of game that I absolutely adore. Card-based, fighting, role-playing, roguelike. This is the kind of game that you've heard me enthusiastically endorse before in the form of games like Card Hunter and Hand of Fate, and most notably, Dream Quest. If you haven't played Dream Quest on iOS, it is so good. And Slay the Spire very much feels like Dream Quest with better graphics. Dream Quest, of course, has some of the worst graphics ever in a card game, ever in a video game, really. And this is the idea behind Slay the Spire is roguelike. You got one life. You health is a resource. You're trying to mitigate losing health as you move up through the spire, heading toward the boss fights, all the while improving your character, not by leveling up, but by acquiring new cards into your deck, more powerful cards, taking the cards you have and improving them, perhaps, by visiting forges and campfires, and beating monsters and looting new cards to put into your deck. Also adding relics which give you very important powers that let you break some of the rules of the game at certain times. Increasing your power, building up. But it is a pure mechanics game. There is really no story here. It is a series of fights that involve manipulating cards in the best possible way. So if you like games like Hearthstone, you're going to feel right at home here. You've got a mana pool, which in this case determines how many cards you can play, just like Hearthstone. And you are trying to, on your turn, play your cards as smartly as you can to defeat the enemies in front of you and avoid them hitting you. The innovation that Slay the Spire brings to it, which is a really interesting one, I would think would break the formula, but doesn't, is you always get to see what your enemy is about to do on their turn. Well, mostly. There are a few times when it's a mystery, but you can always tell if they're going to attack you or they're going to cast some sort of buff on them or a debuff on you. You can plan your defense or attack cards accordingly based on what you know they're about to do. And usually that's something you don't get in these games. Usually you have to sort of guess, and that's kind of the fun. But in Slay the Spire, it's amazing how well it works to know what's coming and still have the challenge of that decision-making process. I find this game extremely fun. And like I said, I was up way past my bedtime. I played through with two classes. Much like Dream Quest, you start with one class, and in order to unlock new classes and new cards, you have to achieve things in the game. So even dying moves you forward on that progress line. I completed the game, saw credits with one class, which opened up a new class for me. I got to the last boss on the second class last night and was killed. Oh, so frustrating. But I didn't want to go to sleep. At least that was a reason for me to go to sleep. I cannot recommend this game enough. I think it's $15 on Steam. Slay the Spire, a huge recommendation from me. I continue to get a lot of feedback about Nintendo Labo, which I think has captured a lot of people's imaginations, including myself. Here's some interesting comments that came from Broderick.
Hi, Jeff. This is Broderick from Australia, Melbourne, Australia, calling. Just sort of giving an update on the Labo stuff you talked about in the last episode. You were talking about how it had been confirmed that Nintendo were offering free downloads for the patterns of the Labo stuff, so you could maybe theoretically make the stuff yourself or replace parts if they broke and so forth. So that report was originally done by IGN France and has since been retracted. Apparently, that wasn't the case at all. And in fact, Nintendo of Australia has since confirmed that they won't be offering those patents for free. Instead, they recommended that if you buy the Labo kits, that you keep the stencil. So basically, as you push the parts out and start making them, you get left with the flashing or the leftover cardboard that would theoretically be used as a stencil, so you could recreate them that way. I was wondering what you thought about that as an alternative to having the designs be there for free to download. If you're keeping those things, it makes practical sense. Personally, I think that actually makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. It's disappointing that they won't be able to offer the patents online for free or anything like that. It would have been great if you could just download the software itself and not have to buy the game cartridge and then the things too. And that, theoretically, that might have been cheaper as well. But in terms of keeping the flashing, if they actually make that recommendation in the software or in the packaging as well, then that makes some sense to me. It's not that hard to just keep some slits of cardboard in a large envelope somewhere and put them out of the way and come back to them if you need them. Especially because the instructions on how to build them look like they're actually in the software too, so that's cool. And just in general, Labo, I just want to express my excitement about the whole thing. I think it's so creative and interesting. And it's just another... as you were saying in your episode the other day, just another example of why Nintendo being in the hardware business is so important. They do so much interesting, creative stuff. And I just love the idea of doing this with my goddaughter or my niece. And it's just such a great creative thing for them. Finally, I just wanted to talk about the pricing and that sort of criticism that's a little bit too expensive. And like, I definitely agree that if this was priced a little bit less, you know, around that $40 to maybe even $50 mark, just something to make it a little bit more enticing, then that would definitely help to generate sales and excitement around it. Definitely. The chances of me or anybody else who's maybe just on the cusp actually buying in is a lot higher that way. But when you consider that software as well is actually physical stuff to come with it, even though it's cardboard, I can kind of see why it's a little bit more pricey. I also just think that the type of plague out of it gives it extra value too. And I know that Lego is way more durable than cardboard is, theoretically. But Lego, I don't know about what it's like in the States, but in Australia, Lego's expensive. Like, it is overpriced, but I will always happily pay a little bit more for Lego because I know that they get so much creative play out of it. Like, I'm really happy to give that stuff to my goddaughter or niece because it just fosters so much interesting, creative play, and I love that. It makes it worth the money. But I think the bottom line, the thing that's going to be make or break for the entire system and its worth, its value, is going to be the software. If the software, like, you can have all the fun in the world making the thing and seeing how it's made, and that's great. That's going to be an amazing afternoon or a couple of hours every time you make one of those things with a kid or even by yourself. But if the software that comes with it doesn't make you want to go back to it, if there's not enough depth there to either experiment with it or play with it or just need to come back to it, especially the robot kit, like, if that's a half hour, 2 hour game even, and there's no depth to that, there's no way to get better at it or explore that game, that's going to be the breaking point. So if the software's good, this whole thing's great. If the software's mediocre and doesn't allow for any sort of depth or ongoing play and experience with it, then that's going to be a problem.
Lots to dig in there, Broderick. Thank you so much for the great call-in. I really appreciate it. So you bring up several points I want to talk about. Let's start with the correction. I appreciate you making that clear about the stencils and whether or not the plans, the blueprints for the cardboard pieces will be available. It sounds like there was some confusion in the early reporting there. And to be honest, upon reflection, I'm not really sure how much plans would actually help you anyway. I don't have a clear sense of how easy or difficult it would be to take regular off-the-shelf cardboard, such as it is, and turn it into these kinds of creations, even if you have a plan or drawings on the back of them. It certainly seems to me that the cardboard is going to be specific to those designs. It's going to be made to fold along certain edges. It's going to be cut along certain edges. I feel like a lot of that is going to be more trouble than it's worth, and it's really just a psychological reassurance that, oh, this is replaceable. in theory, but in practice, it probably really wouldn't be. And so few people would go through the effort of doing it that it really wouldn't solve any of the issues of fragility of the cardboard in the first place. The fact that the cardboard can be destroyed easily by enthusiastic children, I don't think is going to be mitigated in any real sense by the fact that these designs are available or not available. So there's that. Also, I think the comparison to Lego is a solid one. And yes, Lego is a premium price point, especially when you compare it to its Johnny-come-lately competitors like Mega Bloks, etc. They are definitely priced higher than the competition. Lego has leaned heavily on IP as a way to justify that price point in recent years. Their own IP like Ninjago and other IP like Star Wars and Harry Potter. And I mean, this is a whole other discussion, I suppose, but I look at the state of Lego and am a little chagrined at the idea that everything is a playset now that is meant to be built one way. It's actually what they talked about in the Lego movie. This is a big theme in the Lego movie, and one of the reasons I loved the Lego movie so much, where when I was a kid, you bought the Lego playset, you built it once, then you took it apart and built myriad other things. It feels like most people just buy the thing, build the thing according to its instructions, and leave it be. So when you extrapolate that into the Nintendo Labo experience, I think that's really what they're giving you, is you build the one thing that's the one thing, and then the fun is figuring out how it works, why it works, and working with it. And so in that sense, I think you're right that the software will play a big role in adding to the fun, because is the fishing game fun in and of itself? Are you having a good time because you built that fishing rod out of cardboard? Is the motorcycle thing that you're playing fun because you built that motorcycle handlebar set? I hope that the discovery side of it, the maker side of it, is fun in and of itself, and that kids and me, adults alike, will have a great time understanding how the pulleys and gears and all of the folds come together to make an operable thing. It's the fun peek into the world of mechanical engineering that I'm looking forward to from it. But I think you're right that from a kid's perspective, once you build it, hopefully it's functional and there's play. In the same sense that when you build a TIE fighter with your Lego set, you want to play Star Wars and TIE fighters.